Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here, too. It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, we took a break last week because I was, before we recorded that, when I was in, or would have recorded, I was in Dominican with Casas Por Cristo. Normally, when I'm there, we do an episode with somebody there, but I was only there for like 3 days. I was in and out pretty fast as I had a wedding to do, had to come back early. So I didn't get to do one, and you'll notice that I sound very nasally right now. I've had some sort of upper respiratory something or another, so I'm just trying to get through this episode without coughing.
Yeah,
but we are back. With all that to say, we are back,
and we missed y'all.
Yeah, we did. We did. While we've been gone, though, we had a quote from one of our episodes pop up on social media, and it took off like a rocket. So thank you for sharing it, and hopefully there's some new listeners hanging out with us. We're glad that you're with us today. What are we doing?
You talking about the series?
Yeah.
Pastor Please.
There we go. I'm a little sick. We're in a series called Pastor Please, P-L-E-A-S.
Yes.
In other words, if I or your pastor could beg you, plead with you to do some things or not do some things, these would be those things. And so this is our fourth one, Steph. Is that right?
Yeah. This will be our fourth
one
today.
We've been talking through. There's just a list of things that I have recurringly seen over the years. Mm-hmm. It'll pop up and I'll be like, oh my gosh, please, 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 please don't do that. Or please, please, please do this. Like today is one that we want you to actually do. But you could also word it as don't do. So you'll see in a minute. But, and these things are coming from the heart. Like, of course there's pastors who abuse, their role, right? And their authority in your life. But for the most part, that's not the case. There's a heart that's behind all this that actually cares for you. And one of the ways we would care for you is by wanting you to avoid certain pitfalls that seem to be very common. And that's kind of what we've been doing in the series. So 177 was the first one of these, and that one was get counseling earlier than you think. Steph and I both are just proponents of that, and so that was one of those things. If your pastor could plead with you and beg you, it would be get counseling.
Yes.
And do it early. And then 178 was quit being fearful of doubts. You don't have to be scared of doubts. You can actually lean into them, and those doubts, those questions can actually help grow your faith versus ignoring them, which I think does not help grow your faith. And so that was 178. And then the last episode that we did before we took that week break was don't church hop. And how damaging that can be for you and for the body. And that was the social media quote from that episode that took off like a rocket. And that was that idea of, you know, when Jesus returns, I really don't want him to find me with the extent of my faith walk being YouTube videos. You know, that I basically what I do with my faith in Jesus is I watch preachers online, right? Like that was not, mm-hmm. We don't want that. We want to have dirty hands. We want to be involved. We want to be connected to the body of Christ. And so that plea was just please, please, please don't just church hop around and not plug into the body of Christ. That was last week. And shout out real quick to a guy who has been tuning in for a while, but gave us some really nice comments on the Don't Church Hop episode. His name is Brian Kirsch. Shout out to Brian.
Hi, Brian.
And Brian's in Michigan. And shout out to his church or his group. I can't figure out exactly which one it is, but it is, I believe it's called Harvest 10-2. 10 as in like a Bible reference, 10-2. Uh-huh. So shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. And they use the Don't Church Hop episode, which was the last one, 179, in like a small group setting. And so I thought that was pretty cool.
That's really cool.
But we're thankful that you're listening and so glad that God is speaking to you through this. Like, that's why we're here.
Absolutely.
Like, we just prayed before we got on here. And matter of fact, the prayer is on the recording. You just won't hear it. John, our sound guy, will cut it all out. But one of the main prayers in that was just, you know, that we never think that this is us, that this is all God, right? This is not us talking. Nobody wants to hear what we have to say.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But God uses all kinds of ways in which to speak to us. So we're thankful, Brian, that he's speaking to you through this. It's awesome and a privilege and an honor for us.
Yes.
So we're on today, episode 180, fourth one in the series. Today's pastor please is what, Steph?
Don't get married without premarital counseling.
Yeah, we got several relationship ones that we're stacking in here in the 10, in the 10 or 11 that we have. And this is the first one. Don't get married without premarital counseling. Now, I have now married. I just did a wedding. I came home early last weekend to do this wedding. I have done, hold on, I'm going to give you the number. I had to go check when I was doing it, but I have done 143 weddings.
Whoa, that's crazy.
In my career, right, as being a pastor. 143 of them. The first one, I was only 20 years old, 20 years old. And the first wedding I ever did was a couple in their 60s, which was kind of crazy, right? Because I was 20 and they were in their 60s. That was the first one. And by the way, at that first wedding, I forgot to sit anybody down and everybody in the church stood up the whole time, right? Crazy.
They were probably tired.
Yeah, crazy. And so anyway, I don't know why I said that, but regardless, I've done 143 of them, okay? Out of the 100, Steph is one of them, yeah. Right? I married my brother and his wife, my brother-in-law. I mean, all kinds of family members, people in the church, former students that I was a youth pastor, yeah. You know, all kinds of stuff. The young lady that I just married, her husband, she's been a part of the church since she was like 12 years old. So it was pretty cool. I've done a lot of weddings, and I can tell you from now a lot of experience that you do not want to get married without spending some time. It doesn't even have to be like massively significant time in premarital counseling. Like, is we could tie this back into the episode we talked about before, like of, you know, you need counseling earlier than you think. And that would be the same thing with your marriage and your relationship. Do not just jump in and get married to somebody where you haven't taken the amount of time and invested that in your relationship early on, right? Mm-hmm. Early on. And the stats back this up, by the way. We don't throw out a whole lot of stats on the podcast, but this one is crucial. If you get premarital counseling, and we don't even qualify the amount, I think the stat says between 1.5 to 2 hours, which basically is one session, all right? Let's just say two. So if you spend time having two premarital counseling sessions, most of those are done with a pastor. Sometimes they're done with someone else. But if you do two of these things, you are 50% more likely to not get divorced. So you cut your chance for divorce in half just by sitting down prior to marriage with a pastoral counselor of some sort.
Wow.
That's pretty significant, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know anybody out of all these weddings I've done, all these marriages I've been a part of. I don't know anybody who says that, you know, that goes into their marriage planning on getting divorced. Like, I don't know anybody.
Yeah,
nobody. Everybody's walking into it with no, they're not planning on getting divorced ever. But yet it happens quite frequently. And the divorce rate in America is the same inside the church and outside the church, which it shouldn't be. Right, you would think that we would be doing a little something different and hold marriage in a different regard and esteem and have a disfavor for divorce inside the church, right? Especially because you see Jesus' references so much. I mean, if you look at the Gospels and you look at the New Testament, there's a consistent reference to the body of Christ and Jesus Christ and his bride and that representation of that in marriage. It's consistent. So like one of the best analogies for the church is, the union between husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And you would think that divorce rate would be lower inside the church versus outside the church, but it's not. The one key factor to this is premarital counseling. It is a significant factor to lowering your rate of divorce. And I'm just telling you, I don't know anybody who wants to get divorced, who sets out going, you know what, here's our plan. We're going to get married. And we're going to hang in there for a few years, and we're going to call it quits. Nobody goes into it thinking that, right?
No.
When you go through the process of actually marrying and uniting your life to someone, whether that's in some big old huge wedding or something we do in the office, or something you do at the courthouse steps. I don't care how you make it happen. Everybody is going into that with, you know, the idea of forever, right? The idea of, you know, I love this person. I want to unite my life with them. But there is so much lackadaisical commitment to premarital counseling. There's such a, sometimes there's a disdain for it. Like people go, oh, I don't want to do all that, right? I don't want to bother people in my business. But statistics prove that it decreases your likelihood of divorce by half. That is a big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, just about anything else in your life, if it was a bad event and somebody said, if you do this small, simple thing in advance, it'll decrease your chance by 50%. I mean, that's pretty good. It's pretty solid, right? We'd probably take it on most things. Yet we don't do this with premarital counseling. It's crucially important. So I want to talk about why I think that is, right? Through lots of experience now, why I think that it lowers your divorce rate by 50%. Here's why I think. If you are willing to sit down and talk about your relationship and things like that prior to getting married, like in the dating period, in the courting period, where things are good, right? Because if you're dating and you're courting, right, and you're on the way to marriage and things aren't good, you probably should put the brakes on. Because that's the easy time of your relationship, to be honest with you, right? Mm-hmm. Everything changes when you start to live in the same house and you're married. I mean, it's just a different ballgame. And then, you know, of course, life pushes forward and kids come along and all that stuff. If you're willing to sit down ahead of time when things are good and going in the right direction and invest that time prior to marriage, you are so much more likely to seek marital counseling when things go bad because you've already done it when things were good. It breaks the stigma of it. There's a lot of people who, like we talked about in the counseling episode 177, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who have this negative connotation against counseling, right? And so if you do this premaritally, if you do it prior to it, you've already broken the stigma down of, oh, it's okay. It's not as bad as I think, right? And so when things are actually bad, I think you're much more likely to actually do something about it proactively when things are bad, when you're struggling, when your marriage is struggling, if you've already done it before, right? You know what I mean? Like yeah, you've already sort of set a tone there.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. In the course of your marriage, you're signing up for life, right? So in the course of your marriage, a lot of things are going to happen, right? Valerie and I have been married for 24 years. You and Jonathan have been married for two. Are we right at two? We're right
at one. Two we just will passed be next
one.
Year.
Right. We yeah. just passed one, right? But mm-hmm. we're over one. You're all past one.
Over one.
In the course of your marriage, so many things are going to happen. Somebody's going to lose a job more than once. Somebody's going to have some sort of sickness, prolonged illness. Someone's going to walk through a season of anxiety or depression. You're going to bury your parents at some point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is getting sad real fast. You're going to walk through a season where somebody falls in some way in which they do something that they didn't want to do, right? And they hurt each other. You're going to walk through children being born. You're going to walk through I mean, just so many life things that are going to pop up, right? Like this list could go on and on and on and on and on. You're going to walk through financial seasons and troubles. You're going to walk through catastrophes in the world. I mean, there's so many things that are going to happen. And so bad stuff's going to go down in your marriage, and you're going to need to be able to process those things once that happens. And you're much more likely to do that if you actually sit down ahead of time. You've broken the stigma on it. You know it's okay. There's now a safe place. Whether you go back to the premarital counselor you used before, you're just more likely to seek help.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. And the ability to actually seek help is the one thing that I think helps to prevent us from taking drastic steps that might be able to be avoided and to be healed, like divorce, right? If we are willing to actually seek the help. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I think that that's one of the reasons why you're much less likely to get divorced. Why that stat holds true is because you've already done it before and you're willing to do it again. I really do think that's the case. And it's incredibly important. So I'll tell you kind of how this goes for me. premarital counseling that I do, I either do it on my own, or over the last several years, I use a counselor within our church who does premarital counseling for me, just based on timing and stuff like that. But it's not always the case. Here's how my premarital counseling works. Because every dude that walks in there is nervous that I'm about to make them talk about their feelings, and I'm going to give them some test and they got to pass it before I say I'm going to marry them or not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But what it really consists of is it consists of going through the possible problem areas that you are going to have and knowing what they are before they come up, right? Because there's basically only four, right? Outside of someone cheating or physically abusing or whatever, right? That's a little different. But outside of that, there's these four main problem areas that are going to come up in every marriage. And you can kind of pinpoint and know what they are before they happen, right? You can know that, all right, this is probably what's going to be. So like one of them is money problems, right? And if you are already on different pages with your money now, you can guarantee that that's going to be a problem in your marriage later, right? So we'll talk about that one if that's the case. We're just preparing you for the possible problem areas. There's no need sitting around talking about all the good stuff in marriage. That's why you're getting married, because you like them. but, oh, Lord, I've got cough. But let's talk about the problems. That's one of them. The other one is, so you got money-related problems. By the way, number one cause of divorce in America is money-related issues. Crazy. Number two is a possible problem area is family relationships, family issues. Somebody's mother-in-law or father-in-law is a little crazy. Somebody's mother or father-in-law has some substance abuse issues. Somebody's mother or father-in-law doesn't like the kid that they're marrying. There's some instability in the marital, in the family situation.
Some people are very attached to their kids.
Yeah.
No boundaries.
Right, exactly. Somebody has, one of the parents, one of the people getting married has had a really troubled childhood with one or both of the parents, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so it causes problems later. That's the second one. The third one is past relationships, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like there has been, one of the people getting married has a significant sexual history or has had a lot of relationships, or they've had a couple significant relationships. Like, for example, there was a previous marriage, or there is a there's a baby daddy or a baby mama or whatever you want to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those past relationships are going to cause problems in the future, right? And then the fourth one, there's only four. The fourth one are non-negotiables, right? That y'all aren't in a line on your non-negotiables, right? And some of those non-negotiables are, I think there's all kinds of them, but some of them are we going to have children or are we not, right? Where are we going to live and where are we not going to live, right? Because some people get married and go, I'm living here. I always want to be from here. I'm never moving away. Or the other person's like, I'm never going to live here, right? I always want to live somewhere else. And what people don't do is they don't talk about these non-negotiables ahead of time. You need to know where the discrepancy is. Another non-negotiable is your faith walk, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. That's one on our list, by the way, during this series. We'll come back to that later. And so there's several other ones, but those are the four main things, because we're all the same, by the way. So all relationships are going to end up having, the significant problems are going to come out of one of those four things, barring some sort of infidelity, physical abuse, you know, addiction behavior, right? Barring something like that. Those are the four things that are going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to happen, right? And so which one are you more likely to have an issue with? You talk about that before you get married so that when it actually comes up later, you know it and you know ahead of the game, hey, pastor said this is probably going to be our problem, right? So we know this is coming. So we can watch for it. We can prepare for it. But also we can get help in that area when that goes down instead of throwing our marriage down the drain, right? Because you invest a whole lot in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And God's intention when you got married was not for you to get divorced.
Mm-mm.
So his intention was for you to be able to work through these things and contain, keep, preserve the covenant that you are building, that you are agreeing to, walking into, with your partner and with God in the middle of it, you know? And so those things are going to come up. And so what I do in our premarital counseling sessions, we just talk about those four things. And when you go, which one of these is going to be your problem, right?
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to identify. I mean, me and you and Jonathan did this.
I was grateful for premarital counseling.
We walked through that. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, okay, well, here's probably which one of these fits you. And most couples can say it right off the bat.
Yeah.
Right? And usually it's just one, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it's like one and a half. But most couples can say it right off the bat. They'll go, oh, yeah, it's this one. And then we can spend a little bit of time talking about how that might unfold, mm-hmm. what you need to be paying attention to, what could occur, what could not occur, right? Just being aware of those problems ahead of time is going to make you better prepared for it in the future. I also think that you are bringing an awareness of the Holy Spirit's awareness into these things ahead of time when things are good. And sort of sowing the seeds of, God, we want you involved in these problems when they come up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when are you going to have those conversations without premarital counseling before you get married? Like, you might have those conversations somewhat with your partner, but when are you going to have them with a totally unbiased third party in the room, right?
Yeah.
When is that going to happen prior to marriage without a premarital counselor of some sort? It's not going to happen at all.
Mm-mm.
There's no way that's going to go down. There's no way you, me, are going to sit down with our person we're going to marry. We're all starry-eyed, right? We love each other. Everything's wonderful. And we go, okay, let's talk about this issue that we're going to have later on in our marriage and bring in a unrelated third party to talk through it with us without actually initiating, you know, premarital counseling. It's not going to happen, right?
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, I've just watched too many relationships fall apart when they don't have to, because they didn't invest ahead of time in their relationship, right?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that I'll say to couples where a lot of times the guy doesn't want to do this. And so they're real nervous about it and they don't want to do it. And they try to find excuses around not doing it. I won't marry you unless we do it. So that's like my precursor. You only got a few little precursors to whether I'm going to marry you or not. I'll say what those are too. Whether I'm going to marry you or not is based on are you a man and a woman? And then two, I'm going to sprinkle some Jesuses in this ceremony. So it's going to be a Christian ceremony. So that's non-negotiable, mm-hmm. right? And then three, will you do premarital counseling? That's it. That's all the three prerequisites I have.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I was going with that or why I decided to say that. But there it is. Those are the three. So a lot of the men are kind of nervous about whether or not to come into the session or not. So I think they think that you're trying to evaluate their preparedness for marriage and then deciding whether you're going to marry them based on how they function in premarital counseling. That's just not the case. But a lot of men will buck it. And one of the things I'll say back is if you're not willing to invest a couple hours in your relationship, right, while it's good before the marriage happens, you for darn sure will not be willing to invest multiple hours when it's bad and the pressure is on and things are tough
yeah.
later on. You will be much more likely to quit and cut, you know, to cut and run
yeah.
later on when things get rough without the investment ahead of time.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that keeps us going in these relationships that we build, right? And it doesn't just have to be marriage. Friendships, relationships with our siblings, work relationships,
mm-hmm.
even our church relationships, even us, you know, invested into church families. One of the things that keeps us going through the hard times and pushing through and wanting to fight for it instead of fight in it, one of the things that keeps us fighting for it is how much investment we have in it. You know what I mean? Like if you're heavily invested in something, if you've spent years and time and tears pouring into it, you don't want to just throw it away, right? Because you've got too much invested in it. And this is just yet another way that you are putting a significant investment in prior to the marriage that later on will cause you to help you fight for it. You know what I mean? I mean, the goal is there's going to be fighting in marriage. The goal is that we're going to spend more time fighting for it than we are fighting in it. That's the goal, you know? Because marriage is hard, man. Marriage is tough. I mean, all right, I've been married 24 years. I can tell you right now, it has been very tough. There have been seasons where I didn't know if we was going to make it. There's been times where Valerie should have left me. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Yeah.
There's been seasons where it just seemed way too harder than it ought to have been. It's tough, right? And what has kept me and Valerie holding on so much, so long, is that we have been heavily invested for a long time, and our roots are deep, right? So it's a lot harder to cut and run, right, or to throw it away when your roots run deep.
Yeah.
I mean, you and Jonathan only been married a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage ain't easy.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it ain't even easy in the first year.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a small honeymoon period where things are really groovy, but, I mean, you're putting – think about how difficult marriage is. You're taking two people who are sinful and putting them together, right? You're also taking a man and a woman who, let's face it, feel like we're almost from opposite planets sometimes.
Yeah.
We speak different. We think different. You know, we communicate differently. And you're putting those people together as well, right? So you're taking two sinful people who in some ways are completely different and plugging them together in one life that come from two completely different backgrounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like me from my family unit and Valerie from her family unit is completely different. You from your family unit, Jonathan from his family unit, completely different backgrounds,
yes.
Right? And you're plugging all that together. Not to mention the enemy loves to attack marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And so you need as much prior investment as you can possibly get going into something that's that difficult. And let me just side note that back on what I just said a minute ago, and I'm a little sick, so if this is kind of squirrely, oh well. It is called the Messy Walk Podcast for a reason, because it's messy. But the enemy loves to target marriages, because if he can take your marriage down, he can take the whole thing down, right? So many influences, so many ways in which God wants to utilize your union together, so many ways in which that union impacts other people. He can take the whole ship down. Me and Valerie talk about this a lot, right? It was about, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before one time. But years ago, I honestly did not really believe in spiritual warfare, right? And I had been a pastor for a long time. I honestly didn't really believe in it. I knew it intellectually,
mm-hmm.
right? I understood the scriptures. It wasn't like I was invalidating it, but I just truly understand. I didn't truly believe it. It was just something I just kind of ignored. Oh, well, I'm not going to blame everything on the devil kind of idea. And me and Valerie found ourselves, this church was about, I don't know, 4 years in, maybe 5 years in. And we found ourselves fighting viciously every single Saturday night. Every single Saturday night. Every single Saturday night. And then we'd roll into church on Sunday, you know, and having to, and it's not just church on Sunday, it's having to preach the gospel. You know what I mean? And I take preaching the gospel really seriously. I want it to be something that is coming from an outflow of what God's doing inside of my life, not me just telling some people what I think God wants them to hear. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
It's what God's telling me. And it was just brutal. And one night, Valerie said, you know what? This is spiritual warfare. She's like, there's no way that this is not spiritual warfare. I know we both got responsibility in this, me probably way more than her, but we also need to call it what it is. There's no possible way that for years now we've been fighting for Saturday nights every single time, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was like, this is spiritual warfare. And I honestly didn't really fully believe in spiritual warfare. And we got to talking about it. We got to praying about it. We brought some people in, some prayer warriors and some stuff, and some people that would speak truth in our lives. And my eyes started to open up the fact that this is spiritual warfare. And as me and Valerie got to talking about it, she was like, you know that if he can take the marriage down, if he can take our marriage down, he can take this whole ship down. And she was referring to the church, right? He can take the whole thing down. Because who's going to come and who's going to be a part and who's going to keep growing when the pastor and his wife are divorcing, right? He can take the whole ship down. And that's the spot that's got to be strong, because that's the one spot where if he takes that down, it's like he can take the whole thing down.
Right.
He can put that one hole in the bottom of the ship, and maybe slowly, maybe quickly, I don't know, the whole thing could fall apart. And that was when I realized the significance of spiritual warfare in marriage, in our marriage in particular, and how it was more important also for us to keep that integrity strong in our marriage and our covenant with God for other people too, right? For all the other, not just our children, but all the other people that are involved in, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was one of those times where I realized, man, this is a big, big deal. And we have to fight to keep our marriages strong. And if you ain't willing to invest a couple hours ahead of time, I ain't trying to be ugly, but you ain't going to make it.
Yeah, because you're going to be spending how many hours together?
This is real life, yeah. Man. I mean, this is real deal stuff.
You're right.
You know, you ain't going to be able to make it. Because for that marriage to last and survive, that person's got to be your best friend, right? The lovey-dovey and all that stuff, it comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
It wanes. You know what I mean? It's a seasonal thing to it. The infatuation part, I'm not saying it just leaves altogether after you've been married for a while. No, it comes and goes. You know what I mean? But the friendship part has got to be there. And why would you not take time to invest in your friendship, especially ahead of the game, right? Like, if you are a young person who is getting married or an older person who's getting married again, please don't buy into the lie that you don't need this. If I could beg you, I would beg you, please, this is my pastor plea to you, please get premarital counseling. Please spend some sort of time in it.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie and I never even thought of, you know, when we got together, I was only 14 years old, right? And we got married when I was 19 and a half. We got engaged when I was 18 and a half. I used my graduation money to buy her diamond ring.
Oh, that's
sweet. That's how young we were, mm-hmm. right? And we never even knew that premarital counseling was even a thing. I wouldn't even be able to tell you that even existed. I wouldn't have known the word premarital counseling. And when we went to a pastor who was going to marry us, that's the first thing he required. And so we end up sitting down with him 5-6 times, going through some things. He had some kind of curriculum thing we went through. And we still reference that to this day. We still talk about it to this day. I can't tell you specifically what it was, but we both referenced, yeah, we enjoyed doing that together. It was beneficial to us. We came back to it later in our marriage. You know what I mean? And then guess what happened? Later in our marriage, as pastors, right? I mean, I'm a pastor. Later in our marriage, guess what happens? We are faced with a moment of, oh, crap. And guess what we did? We went to counseling. I don't know if we would have went to counseling later in our marriage, even as being a pastor, if we hadn't exposed ourselves to it prior when things were good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, you know, the plea is, and we'll wrap this thing up, but the plea is, please do this. I mean, if nothing else, just look at the stats. And do not buy the lie that this is your second or your third marriage, therefore you don't need this. They're not going to teach you anything that you don't already know. Well, one, you must not have learned nothing real good the first couple times because this is your third marriage. Secondly, you have a much higher percentage rate of getting divorced each marriage that goes along further. Think about this. This is crazy. So I'm going to round the numbers because they just make better sense rounded. If you have a 50% chance of getting divorced in your first marriage, that chance of you getting divorced again in the second and third and fourth increases by 10% each time. You would think it would go down, right? You would think, okay, you get to your third marriage, you're likely to stay married because now you're older and you've done it 3 times and you don't want to quit. Actually, your percentage of chance of getting divorced goes up every time you get divorced.
Wow.
Right? So don't buy into some lie that because you've been married before, you've done this before, you're older, there ain't nothing you're going to learn, nothing you're going to teach. It's not about what you learn in it. It really isn't. That's the key thing too here, is it's not really about what you're learning in those sessions. I don't know how much I can get through the brains of two people who are in love and ready to get married prior to it anyway. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what you learn. It's about setting a tone and a foundation for later. That's what it's about. That's why it's a game changer. You are setting an investment, a tone, roots are being planted deeper. You are also inviting the Holy Spirit in when things are good, in preparation when things are bad. And that's why it's a game. It's not about what you learn in it. It's about setting a different tone. And out of the 140, what did I say earlier? 143, 144, something like that. I have to look back.
I don't remember.
I think it's 104. I don't know what it was. Anyway, it's somewhere around that number. I got it written down. I check it out every time I do a wedding. But out of all those couples that I know of, there have been 10 divorces out of 140 some. That's insane. That's less than 10%. I don't attribute to that to me. I don't attribute that to fully to premarital counseling. I attribute that to people who are willing to bring the Lord into what it is that they're doing. You know what I mean? That's what I attribute it to. You know, I don't know how long that stat holds true. Every time I marry somebody, I tell them, don't mess up my stat. You know what I mean? Don't be screwing up my stat. My batting average is killing right now. Don't be messing it up. But, I mean, I attribute that to you bringing the Lord into something. When things are good, when things are bad, we bring the Lord in, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord makes a difference. You know what I mean? So, anyway, I could ramble on about this all day long. This one sticks in my craw so bad, Steph. Like, when I see people just up and, you know, just jump in and get married, I'm like, oh my gosh, why did you not do any premarital counseling? That's a big miss. It's a big miss. I will tell you, though, tying in on this one and 177, to get counseling earlier than you think, if you didn't do this, you should go do it.
Yeah.
If you've been married for 2 years, 10 years, 12 years, and you go, well, you know what? We didn't get no premarital. Go do it now, because you're still setting a foundation and roots. Even though you're doing it a little later, you're still doing it now for later, right? You've ever heard the saying that when was the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When's the second best time to plant a tree? Today,
mm-hmm.
right? When's the best time to have got premarital counseling? Before you got married. When's the second best time, though? Now, right? Because you're doing the same concept ahead of the problems, ahead of the issues. So anyway, the pastor plea for episode 180, recap, is don't get married without premarital counseling. Please, please, please don't do that. That's the plea for today.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think it always shocks me because, you know, I'm just freshly married, to be real.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to hear how much, you know, people do go through in different seasons. And so I really appreciate this wisdom being shared. So.
You got to think about it. Think about all the stuff that you walk through in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the fact that you're probably going to be married the majority of your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So you, in a marriage situation, are going to walk through the majority of life issues in that marriage.
Yeah.
You're going to walk through a lot of stuff. Out of all that crap I just mentioned to you a little while ago, me and Valerie walked through all of it, right? I've lost jobs. She's lost jobs. I walked through extended periods of anxiety and depression. She has too, right? Mm-hmm. More on the anxiety part, less the depression part. There's been significant health crises that have happened during those times. There's been the birth of children. There's been adjusting to all those things.
Mm-hmm.
There has not been for either one of us yet the death of parents, but there's been significant deaths.
Yeah.
That have happened already. I mean, all those, we've walked through them all, and we've only been married 24 years, right? I'm only 43 years old, and we've already walked through all these things. You're going to walk through this stuff. Bad stuff is going to happen.
Yeah.
Life crap is going to happen. And nothing prepares you better for it than investing in that relationship prior.
Yeah.
Right?
And, that's good.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's all I got, Steph.
Well, God will use it.
Land this plane, please.
All right. Well, thank y'all for joining us. We missed y'all, and we're glad to be back. And I hope that this blessed you. And if it did, just let us know and share it with people you know, because premarital counseling is important.
Absolutely. Share it with anybody you know. We don't make a dime off this podcast. So when we say share, we literally mean...
I got a full-time job.
Right. We literally mean for the benefit of somebody else, right?
Yep.
Shout out to Brian Kirsch one more time in Michigan.
Shout out, Brian. All right. We'll see y'all next time.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.